For those of you who weren't here a little while ago, we were doing some Greek stuff. Everybody says, I don't know anything about that Greek stuff. And I said, well, I don't either. So we're good. But here's what I do know. I know my Redeemer lives. What about you? God has never let us down. He will hold us up. He will keep us where we need to be. I don't know about you, but I know that there are times when it rains and it pours, and it seems like it never will ever stop. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily rain drops. I'm talking about stuff that just, we thought we had it down pat, and we thought we could do it, we thought we could get through this, and we thought we could excel, and then poof, all of a sudden things just go kapooey. Have you noticed that bad things that happen seem to somehow happen in bunches? It's not enough to have a problem. Let's have 15 at one time. Boy, you're going to be digging around and looking around and finding whatever you got to do. It seems like if one single thing goes wrong before you can get the next thing fixed, before all of that, you look down and something else is happening. Who among us can testify of a matter like that? Well, hang on, because they're always going to get bigger, never smaller. If the water faucet freezes up and bursts, have you ever noticed that it usually does it in more than one place? In most situations, it happens in many places. Job 19:23-27. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead and engraved in a rock forever. Verse 25, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within. You ever have those days when you can't get one thing fixed before something else falls apart? Every single day of our lives, there's something that comes along and dampens our spirit. We don't want for it to do it. It just comes. Job 14:1-2 says, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Some people who have been in this assembly are now struggling at home in care facilities. Somewhere in the city, that's happening. There's people constantly in churches like this who are having people who are sick and having trouble. Regardless of what happens, we tend to notice, I don't know about you, maybe you have a better outlook, but it tends to say that when it rains, it pours. Job lived close to the time of men like Abraham. Old Job was an old, old dude. He was even close to Isaac and even Jacob. He was wealthy and blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned literally thousands of sheep, camels, and cattle, and was the richest and most powerful man of the day. Job knew and trusted in one true God, though he wasn't perfect. But the one thing that stood ahead above the rest was that he loved God and served him faithfully. But just as it is with us, things change. And it can do that in a heartbeat, and most likely will. Job 1:6-12. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also come with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But you stretch out your own hand and strike everything he has, and he'll surely curse you to the face." Now, we should consider here that God, even in all of his issues that happen in his life that we consider that are bad, are being protected by God himself. At this, there must be something here that we can't miss it. The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." In one day, Job lost everything. All of his cattle, all of his flocks were gone. His children died, and even Job came down with painful sores all over his body. In all of this, Job had no clue that God and Satan had been having a conversation and had no clue what was happening. The only thing that this man had left was his wife. But there was not much left with her if you listen to the counsel she gives to her husband. In Job chapter 1, 13 to 22, on that day, Job's son and daughters were feasting and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, "Oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put their servants to the sword, and I'm the only one left to tell you." Ah, that's terrible. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heavens and burned up the sheep and the servant, and I'm the only one who's left to escape and tell you." I would say to you, this boy's having a bad, bad day. Make that a year. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, and suddenly a mighty wind swept on them, and they're dead, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." I don't know about you, this boy had a bad day. This boy had a bad life. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came in from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Boy, that's a guy who's got it together in the middle of terrible surroundings. So he's in a mess much larger than what most any of us have ever had to endure. The only one he had left was his life. And his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. But there are more things to come here. Job 2, 11 to 13. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shunite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about the troubles that had come upon them, they set out from their homes to meet together by an agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. Then they sat out on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, and no one said a word to him because they saw how great the suffering was. These guys would not give Job any slack, and it indicated to him that everything that he had was his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. But in all of this, Job would not then or ever curse God for what had happened. In the midst of all of this that was happening, Job cried out. In Job 19, 23 and 24, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with a hot iron and a tool on lead and engraved on a rock forever." Little did Job know that what he wished for was actually coming true. And the whole book of Job is a testimony of the desire with its 40 chapters and with a total of 1,068 verses. We've only seen a slight sketch of what Job went through. But not one time did Job ever turn his back on his God and blame him. I've been to a lot of funerals. You have too. And I've seen people on their knees beating the dirt, wanting mama or wanting daddy or my child or whatever. We've only seen a sketch of what Job went through, but not one time did he ever turn his back. Job's troubles would make our troubles look like we're having fun at a playground. But the words of his faith did not end there. Job had more to say. In Job 19, 25 to 29, here's what he says. "I know that my Redeemer lives." And in the end, he will stand on the earth. "And after my skin has been destroyed, yet my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes and not another. Now my heart yearns within me." If you say, "How will you hound him since the root of the trouble lies in him? And you should fear the sword yourself. For the wrath will bring punishment by the sword, and then you will know that there is a judgment. I know that my Redeemer lives." Redemption is the act of buying something back or paying a price or ransom to return something to your possession. Redemption is the English translation of the Greek word orazio, and it carries the meaning of freeing someone from chains or prison or even slavery. Redemption means deliverance from some evil by the payment of a price by one who is qualified to pay the price. In the Old Testament, the word redeemer actually referred to the close family member or friend who would bail you out or stand you up for the times of your trouble. For example, a redeemer would often marry the widow of the brother to make sure she was taken care of, that he could go ahead and continue his life through his other brother. A redeemer would often buy a poor relative out of slavery. A redeemer would make sure that justice would carry out if you were murdered. a redeemer would stand up for you in a lawsuit. Job trusted God, his redeemer, who would stand up for him. Job trusted God as his redeemer, who would make sure that justice was carried out against Satan and his villains. Job trusted God as a redeemer who would free him from the agony of the body and the heart. But Job's redeemer was Jehovah God, the ruler of the universe. Now that's the one you want. We must not miss the fact that Job knew in the God's own time that one day he would see this redeemer face to face. Even though it would be after his death, after his skin had been destroyed, Job trusted he would see God with his own eyes and in the flesh. Do you know that you're going to die? You got a pretty good clue about that. And do you know that they're going to dig a hole, put you in some fancy box, put you in the ground, and it'll be a place that you go to visit until that last day? God will bring us back. You believe that's true? Job's redeemer was God himself. Not only that, but Job knew thousands of years before the Christ announced the power of the resurrection that he would physically raise from the dead. God had already given him that message. Job is still waiting, just like all of us who have gone before us, and we will live forever. With Job and with us, we'll be free. With Job and with us, we'll meet God. With Job and us, we will be vindicated. As it will be with Job, those of us who have made a covenant with Christ or with God, we will be free from pain, heartache, evil people, and we will stand in God's presence and walk in peace and his lovely garden while God himself walks among us. Do you believe God on that? Jesus came because our close relative, our brother in humanity, to buy us out of this self-imposed slavery. You know, when death appears, people we love, we often speak of it as if it were the end, but it's not so. Because somebody dies, because somebody is put in a tomb covered with dirt, that's not the end of it. They laid Jesus Christ in a grave and rolled a huge stone in front of the entrance of the tomb. Many, just like we, came before the tomb and grieved because it was all over, and one whom they loved so dearly was dead and gone. Graveyards are packed with people who have had the same thing at their tomb. They laid Jesus to rest on Friday, and the tears flooded their eyes and their faces. But just as Jesus had told it, it was not over. On the third day, without assistance of any human, the stone rolled away, and Jesus Christ fulfilled his promise. Those without Christ have hurt themselves because they will not listen to the truth of God. In Acts chapter 2, 14 to 41, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you carefully. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These people are not drunk, as you supposed. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what was spoken of the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens and signs above the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And David said this about him. I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, and you have filled my joy with presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidentially that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, and that was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received from the Father, promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel be assured that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is for you and your children and for all of those who are far off, for all whom the Lord the God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added that day to the number. On that last day, it will be our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who will raise our bodies back to life, never to die again. After the resurrection, our bodies will walk in God's beautiful, sinless garden where no evil exists. The perishable will be clothed with imperishable. Your body will be freed from sin. You will be reunited with God, and we will see Him with your own eyes. You will see God face to face, and you'll be made new again. Job made his life day by day, week by week, year by year, because he embraced the truth when he believed and said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. That's the promise God's given us. I don't know about you, but that says things to me that God's on our side. I've messed up in my life. I didn't get it right most of the time. I'm hanging out with people that didn't get it out most of the time. But you know what? God still loves me. And if God loves me and he's on my side, there is nothing you can do about it. And if it's all turned around and one of the others of you were standing here saying this, you could say the same thing. But here's what I know. God's on our side. And we will live forever. And the church said, amen.